final exams are a part of life for the American student. There's really no way around it. Well, when we come to the Bible, most people think final exams, that's a school thing. But what we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is there is going to be a final exam that all of us will have to take at the end of our lives. Now, how you handle a final exam is different based upon your temperament and your makeup. Some people are crammers. Some people will wait to the last second. They'll stay up all night and they'll just be trying to stuff their head with all of this information so that they can pass their final exam. Other people, they study it way in advance. They prepare way in advance that they study often, they study long, and because they want to pass that final exam. Now, in all of the classes that I ever took, I loved it when the teacher would come forward and say, "Hey, listen, I just want to make this simple. I don't want there to be any questions. Here's what's on the final exam. If you will study, if you will prepare, if you will know this stuff, you'll pass. But if you don't study, if you don't prepare, if you don't know this stuff, you will not pass my final exam." Well, when we come to life, if you're young or old, if you're male or female, God comes and says, you are going to have a final exam at the end of your life. And here's what's on it. So you don't have to worry about trick questions. You don't have to know, "Oh, well, I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't know that was going to be." No, no, no. He tells you, you want to know what this exam is all about. Here it is. Now, here's what he's doing at the end of this book. He's wrapping it up. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If you want to know what Proverbs is about, if you want to know what Ecclesiastes is about, but if you want to know what life is about, if you want to, it's almost like this is the study key for life. If you want to pass the exam of life, you have to know what these two verses are talking about. This morning, two truths we must all live by. Sermon's entitled, "The Final Test You Will Ever Take." The final test, the last test that you will ever take in this life. First truth I want you to know, what God expects from you. Why are you here? What's God's plan and design for your life? You see, your purpose, your design is far greater than you. Your purpose and God's plan for your life is that you please God. That's why you were created. The whole duty of man is that you would glorify God and you would worship Him forever. That is why you were created. Not to make money, not to have titles, not to have stuff. You were created to glorify God. You say, "How do I do that?" Look at the verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Bottom line for the meaning of life. Bottom line for why you were created, why you exist on planet Earth. Here it is. Conclusion of the whole matter. First thing he says, fear God. So Ecclesiastes ends where Proverbs begins. It's an admonition. You need to fear God. Fearing God is a common thought through all of Solomon's writings. Five times in this book, he tells us, fear God, fear God, fear God, fear God, fear God. And Solomon, it's almost like he's saying, I learned it the hard way. I wasted a lot of years. If you want to know what life is about, learn from my mistakes. Fear God. Now, that phrase, fear God, is greatly misunderstood in our day. That is kind of a social anathema. We're supposed to walk around in fear of God? Is that what this is talking about? Is that what he's saying? The word fear means a reverential awe. It means a reverence. It means a respect for God. Tracy and I, several years ago, went to the Grand Canyon. Blown away by the beauty of it. Blown away by the size of it. Blown away by the scope of it. I mean, I was so, guys, put the pictures up there. I was so insignificant, so minuscule, so nothing compared to this mammoth chasm, compared to this humongous hole in the ground. In reverential awe. Now, my dear beloved wife wasn't quite as reverential awe as I was because she took my kids right up there to the edge where there are no rails and you just fall over and die like 2 miles down. My reverential fear, my awe, the scope, the bigness caused me to respect its boundaries. Hey, there's no exception for me. That is the boundary of this canyon. And because I respect the boundary of this canyon, I'm not going to think, oh, I can go over this boundary and I'll be fine. I can pass this boundary and I can make it. No. None of us can make it. And they don't say this. They don't publicize it. But hundreds of people die every year at the Grand Canyon because they do not respect the boundary and they fall. It's a long flight down and it's a hard crash. Boom. And they're never to be remembered again. Come to God. God is massive. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is the reason this world exists. He is the reason that you exist. And we are to have a reverential awe for Him. We are to have a reverential respect for Him. Now, we think, oh, fear, it's a bad word in our day. No, it's not. Not the right kind of fear. It's right for children to fear touching a stove. Going to burn them. It's right, in my opinion, for all people to fear snakes because they're wicked and they will bite you. It's right, I think, for children to fear their parents, to have a reverential respect and awe for their parents. That's what he's talking about here in this chapter. I believe one of the fallacies and one of the reasons our country and our world is in such a mess. There's no fear of God. There's no reverential awe of God and His power. There's no respect for His boundaries. No. That boundary, it does not apply to me. I can lie, break that boundary, no problem. I can cheat. I can steal, I can party, I can be immoral, I can cheat on my spouse. The reason we do that, there's no respect. There's no reverential awe for God. Why would America think that we can change God's definition of marriage? There's no fear, there's no reverential awe and respect for our God. Who gets the idea that I have the right to change my gender? I don't want to be how God made me. I want to be something else. So I'm just going to change God. I know better than you do. And the reason that all of us are falling into this trap is because we don't have respect and reverential awe for God. You say, yes, sir, that's right. They're the problem. You know, the reason that people don't read their Bibles every day, there's no reverential awe for God. God, I don't need what you have to say to me. the reason we don't value worshiping together corporately as a church. God, I don't need you. I don't need what you said. I don't need those church folk. I need the lake more than I need church. No, 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 no. The reason priorities are all out of whack is because we don't fear God. He says very plainly, very clearly. If you want to pass the final exam of life, you got to reverence God. You have to reverence God's power. You have to reverence God's boundaries. You got to say, God, you are the boss. I'm not. Look on the verse. Fear God. Second phrase. And keep His commandments. So the obvious byproduct is if I fear God, I'm going to obey what He says. The life that is humble before God will live a life that is holy to God. God, you are it, period. You are what this world is all about. And I humble myself. I bow before you in submission to honor you. God, yes to whatever you say. Our American healthcare system, while it's not perfect, it's one of the best in the world. Do you realize that America and Americans spend more money on healthcare than any other country in the world? Prescriptions, we spend more. Doctor visits, we spend more. Surgeries, they cost more here. Hospital stays, we spend more in America than any country in the world. And here's what I found interesting. Surveys tell us, and statistics tell us, that 61% of Americans do not listen and follow what the doctor tells them to do. Your wife just punched you in the side. That's you, sir. You fall into 61%. 61%. Oh, we like these prescriptions, and we like these hospitals, and we like the opportunity to have the surgeries, and we like the doctors. We just do not do what they say. 61%. You need to lose weight. You need to exercise. You need to eat healthier. I'm here to say, if the statistic is 61% of Americans do not follow the doctor's orders, it's far more than 61% for Christians who do not follow the divine doctor's orders. We do not respect God as He is the final authority and He has the final say. So therefore, God, I'm not going to do what you say. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I don't care. I know I'm not supposed to watch that, but I don't care. I know I should not be doing this activity or partaking of that thing. I know I shouldn't. But God, I really don't care. And that's the reason our world's in such a place that it is. Look on the verse. Fear God. Keep His commandments. See the last phrase. For this is the whole duty of man. It means this is the responsibility of every man. So why were you created, sir? Ma'am, what does God want you to accomplish? Very simply, He wants you to live every day of your life in reverential awe of His power, of His supremacy, of His authority in your life, and do every single thing that He tells you to do. This is the whole duty of man. The reason so many people have so many problems today, they don't fear God. And they don't keep His commands. So we have been given this life. Here is the purpose for your life. Here is my plan, what you want to do. And we say, no. I don't like your purpose. I don't like your plan. I'm going to do my purpose and I'm going to do my plan for my life. That is crazy. That is nuts. It would be like this. What would happen if you decided, I'm going to cook the lasagna that is intended for lunch today, not in the oven, which its purpose and plan is. I'm going to cook it in the dryer, the clothes dryer. I'm going to cook the lasagna there. You say, dude, what are you doing? What if you went home today and instead of eating lunch with the fork as it was designed and planned, you say, no. I'm not going to do that. I got a better purpose and I got a better plan. I'm going to eat today with a pitchfork. You say, it wasn't created for that. That is irrational. What if you went home and you decided not on Sunday, but tomorrow, the grass is getting awfully high. Better cut it. So you get your fingernail clippers out. And you go out there and you say, honey, I'm going to cut the grass. I'll be in here in a couple of years. He's like, dude, what is that my neighbor doing? He is off his rocker. He's cutting his grass with fingernail clippers. Dude, you are a moron times a zillion. Listen, so it is with us. When we say, God, this is the life that you've given us. This is how we were created, and this is our purpose, what you want us to do. But we're not going to do that. We know better than you. We're going to live our life our way because we know better than you, God. Number one, so it's clear what God expects from you. Number two, what God will examine from you. What's the test over? Look at verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So Solomon here is not speaking in terms of possibility. This might happen. There is a chance this could occur. He says very clearly and very plainly, every person ever born that lived on planet Earth will account for his actions. Every boy, every girl, every mother, every father, every one of us. This is the judgment day in God's eternal courtroom. The day has been set on the court document since the foundation of the world. All of the defendants will be present. That's you. All of the evidence will be there waiting. That's what you've done. The judge will come. He will pronounce his final sentence. And there's no appeal. There's no rationalization. There's no excusing. You will be judged for how you've lived your life. Every person ever born will stand before their respective day of judgment. The saved person, the saint will stand there at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a matter of sin. It's a matter of what have you done with the salvation that I have entrusted to you. But every sinner will be at the great white throne judgment and it will be over their sins. All of us will be standing before Jesus. He is the judge. He is the jury. He is the one that will announce the sentence upon you and upon your life. Friend, listen to me. Whatever you've tried to cover, on that day, God will uncover. Whatever you try to excuse, on that day, God will expose. Whatever you try to reason away, oh, here's the reason that I did this. God, before all, will reveal. Whatever you've tried to keep secret and hidden, God on that day is going to make public. You've never had an exam like this one. You've never known the pressure of this day. Every deed, every thought, every action, every word will be brought to life. Things long forgotten, things that happened years ago that you've just kind of put out of your mind, will be brought freshly to your mind. The evidence will be there. There will be no arguing. There will be no debating. There will be no... You will fall on your face, and you will acknowledge the worthiness of Jesus. Friend, listen to me today. Don't blow me off. On that day, you will have wish you listened to this pastor. On that day, you will have wish you have listened to his word. This is the final exam. This is the study key. Do you want to pass that exam? It's simple. Get the sin out of your life. God, you're number one, I'm not. God, whatever you say, I'm going to keep your word, period. And when you mess up, fall on your face and repent of your sin. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, it's simple. It's realizing that Jesus died on the cross in your behalf for your sin. And you say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I commit my life to you. I'm going to follow you so long as I shall live. If you do that, you'll never go to the great white throne judgment. But if you haven't, you will. For the unbeliever, this world is the closest to heaven you will ever get. For the believer, this world is the closest to hell that you will ever get. For the unbeliever, judgment day means this if you don't know Jesus. No more goodness, no more mercy, no more second chances, no more love. For the believer, judgment day means this. No more pain. No more sickness. No more suffering. Listen to what Moses said. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Life expectancy, they tell us right now, is about 78 years. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with the rest of your life? Friend, this is not some smoke and mirrors. I want nothing from you. Except when you stand before Jesus, you to pass your test. That's what keeps me awake at night, is I don't want you to be embarrassed. More importantly, I don't want you to embarrass our Savior. And too many of us, we are. Look at the verse. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know what's going to be on the test. What are you doing about it? You say, well, you understand I got this responsibility and I got this responsibility, and you understand I got this scenario and this kind of complicates it. There are no complications. Life, sum it up, you're to have reverential awe and respect for God your Creator more than anything. More than money, more than possessions, more than your preferences. You're to say, God, you are the boss, and everything else is second place to you. And God, whatever you tell me to do, even though in this society they think I'm nuts, even though in this society they think I'm off my rocker, even though in this society I may be gone to jail for following you, I'm going to fear you and do what you say completely. You do that, my friend. You pass on that day. Friend, listen to me. You don't do that. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I don't care what a great community citizen you were. All that matters is, did you live your life in reverence to God, obeying His Word? Since the early 70s, ABC would come on with a wild world of sports. And they showed this skier coming down. And guys, put the picture on the screen. They showed this skier coming down this slope. And he was doing fine. And for some reason, on the way down that slope, he lost control. He started going all different directions. He hit the side of the platform down there at the bottom. It was awful. Well, after the fact, they found out the whole story. He intentionally did it. You say, why would he do that? Why would he was doing great? Why would he intentionally fall down? He actually fell over, put his head over, fell down face first in the snow and started rolling and somersaults and everything. Why would he do that? This is what he said. I realized on my downward descent, the snow had changed conditions and I was going way too fast. If I stayed on my current course, I would overshoot the landing and I would die. So therefore, I had no choice. I was headed in the wrong direction. I could either radically change and stop now, even though it meant I was going to stumble and fall, or I could keep on my current trajectory and I would die. And I come to you. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Friend, the judgment seat of Christ is coming quickly. Friend, the great white throne judgment is coming quickly. If you've never accepted Christ, the time to do it is today. Do not leave this building. Do it today. And Christians, I love you. I stay up late at night worried about you. I want to grab you. Some of you are so consumed with this world's things that are all going to burn up and be destroyed. And there you're going to see Jesus with his nail prints. Jesus who sacrificed everything for you. And you will suffer loss before him. You will be humiliated before him. I want you to pass the test. Here's what it is. Fear God. Have reverential awe for God. And do whatever He says. If you mess up, fall on your face, repent of your sins, and He will forgive you and cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. One of my best friends in college, if there ever was a guy that had everything going for him, this was the guy. If there ever was a, forgive me for just being blunt, if there ever was a stud on campus, this was it. I mean, the girls, and I hung out with him just because he was a chick magnet. Everybody was just attracted to this guy, but he wasn't just an empty bag of, there was personality galore. I mean, everybody loved this guy. I mean, he would walk in and everybody, besides the girls, everybody just wanted to listen to him talk. They wanted to hear his jokes. They wanted him just to share with them. He was the man. Preparing to be a preacher. Communicate, and the people would just sit there on the edge of their seats. But for whatever reason, made some wrong choices. Everything in his corner. But for whatever reason, just got overwhelmed, threw in the towel. For whatever reason, with all of these gifts and all of these abilities and all of this potential, where he could have massively impacted the world, he quit. Today, same age as me, 47 years old, working a laborer's job, making $12 an hour. Why? Why? What happened, man? Everything was going for you. What happened? No fear of God. No obeying His commands. Friend, this is the final exam. Are you ready?